Turn with me now in your Bible to 2 Corinthians, Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 8, verses 1 to 15. We are working our way together through 2 Corinthians. This morning, we want to consider together the grace of giving. Again, our text this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. That is actually page 1230 in your blue pew Bible. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. Let's hear God's word together. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. And in this matter I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, giver of life, giver of grace, giver of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask now that you would give us your blessing, understanding, and your spirit. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the season of giving. And so this morning we want to consider together the grace of giving. And the first thing I want us to see this morning is that grace begets grace. Or to put it another way, grace produces grace. Look with me at our text this morning. Beginning in verse 1, Paul says, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God." Now, grace is God's undeserved favor. Grace is undeserved blessing. Okay? Justice is when you get what you deserve. Okay? That's what justice is. Justice is when you get what you have coming to you. Justice is when you get what is fair. Justice is when you get what you've earned. Okay? Justice is when you receive what you deserve. Grace is when you get better than you deserve. Grace is God's undeserved blessing. Sometimes I don't deserve God's blessing. I mean, in fact, if we're honest, we never deserve God's blessing. We haven't earned God's blessing, but grace is God's undeserved blessing. Grace is when we get better than we deserve. And certainly the greatest example of grace is the gift of salvation. The greatest example of grace is the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose birth we celebrate. I mean, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus is a gift. A gift isn't something you earn. A gift is free. A gift is something beyond what you earned. A gift is grace. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son so that whoever believes in him, whoever trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ, will not perish but have everlasting life. That is the greatest example of grace, the free gift of eternal life, the free gift of peace with God, a clean conscience, a clean slate, a new start, a forgiveness, the gift of God's Spirit. Certainly, the gift of salvation is the greatest example of grace. And yet in our passage this morning, Paul wants to call our attention to another example of grace. He says, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia." So certainly the gift of Jesus Christ is the greatest example of grace. That's the biggest example of grace. But Paul says, "I want you to know this morning about another example of grace. That is God's grace given among the churches of Macedonia." All right, keep in mind, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, which was a seaport along the Aegean Sea just off the Mediterranean. Macedonia was north of Corinth. Macedonia comprised cities like Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea. So if you've heard of the Philippians, the Thessalonians, or the Bereans, those are the churches in the area we call Macedonia. And Paul says, "I want you to know about how God has shown his grace to Macedonia." He says, "For in a severe test of affliction." The churches of Macedonia were going through a severe test of affliction. We don't know exactly what it was. Perhaps they were going through a season of sickness and illness and loss. That happens sometimes to churches. We're going through a season of a lot of illness and a lot of loss. Perhaps the churches of Macedonia were going through a season of loss. We do know that they were often subject to persecution. Remember when Paul was in Philippi, he was thrown into the Philippian jail. When he was in Thessalonica, he had to flee the city. So we know that perhaps the churches were going through persecution, pressure from the pagan temples and the Jewish synagogues. We know for certain some of the stress had to do with poverty. It was financial. Okay, down in Corinth, Corinth was a seaport. Business was good. There were always ships coming and going, bringing in and merchandise. But further north up in Macedonia, things were tight, probably for a number of reasons, but for one thing, the Roman government was reorganizing some things, and sometimes the government does things that hurts the economy. Okay, sound familiar? Well, that's apparently what had happened in Macedonia. So the churches of Macedonia were going through a severe time of affliction. Paul is going to talk about their severe poverty, and yet he mentions their abundance of joy. These Christians were abounding with joy in the midst of this stress, this pressure, when money was so tight, they were going through severe testing. They were abounding with joy. How can you abound with joy when you're going through these severe tests? Well, your attitude reflects whatever you're thinking about. Okay, maybe you're in a good spot in life. You're retired, but you still have your health. You're living comfortably, and you're filling out your Christmas cards. I mean, you're ahead of the game. You're already addressing your Christmas cards. And you come to a name on your list of some old friends, and as you're addressing your Christmas card to these old friends, it dawns on you, you haven't heard from them in a while. In fact, you haven't heard from them in a long while. The more you think about it, you realize, you know, we've been sending them a Christmas card for years, and they haven't sent us a Christmas card in a long time. And the more you think of it, it starts to kind of get under your skin. It kind of irritates you. You know, they don't ever call. They call themselves our friends. They don't ever call. They don't ever write. And you kind of start getting a little irritated about it. Here you are. Life is good. You're well off. You're comfortable. You've got your health. You're retired. But you start to get irritable because of what you're thinking about. Your attitude doesn't necessarily reflect your circumstances. It reflects whatever you happen to be thinking about. And that works both ways. Because here were these churches in Macedonia, and their circumstances were hard. They were poor. They were under stress and affliction. But apparently that's not what they were thinking about. They weren't focusing. They weren't dwelling on it. They weren't getting together and, oh, man, this is rotten. Instead, apparently, they were thinking about the grace of God. They were thinking about how good God is, how gracious God is. They were thinking about the free gift of salvation, of the free gift of Jesus Christ. Apparently, their mind was not set on their problems, but it was focused on God's goodness. Remember how the passage begins? Paul says, I want you to know about the grace of God to the churches of Macedonia. What he's saying is that even though they were going through hard times, they were thinking about how good God is, how God had blessed them more than they deserved, and as a result, they were abounding with joy. The grace of God brings joy even during difficult times. I know that the holidays can be difficult sometimes. Maybe this time of year, business gets really intense at work. There's stress and pressure. Everybody's trying to get everything done. Or maybe you're competing with who's going to get time off and when. Or, you know, this is that dreaded season when you have to go to the mall. You know, there are stresses associated with the season. You're spending more money than usual. And sometimes you can't help but notice how things have changed. You know, maybe the rest of the year you're just able to keep busy, but this time of year you can't help but just think about holidays past. Maybe this will be your first Christmas without the kids home with you. That's going to be hard. Or maybe you can't help but think of different loved ones who aren't here with us. The holidays can be different, and yet you can experience joy this holiday season. I know that. I've seen other people do it. I've seen people going through real severe loss who have nevertheless experienced real joy because they were just focusing on God's grace and just how good God has been in them. You know, you can focus on everything you don't have anymore, or you can look back and you can say, thank God for those good times. Thank God for those good memories. You can take this time to look back and say, oh, thank God for his grace in my life. He has blessed me so much. We've had so many good holidays together with my family. You know, you can experience joy when you set your mind on God's grace. The grace of God can bring joy even during difficult times. In fact, the grace of God can even use difficult times to produce more grace. And that's really what I want us to see this morning, is that God's grace is so powerful that not only can it bring joy even during hard times, but God's grace is so powerful that it reproduces. It can even use hard things to produce more grace in your life. Okay, look with me at our text. This is verse 2. Paul says, in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. Now, this is what Paul is talking about. Remember, there was a famine that's been going on in Judea, Jerusalem. And especially there were many widows in Jerusalem, Jewish widows, who were suffering. They were struggling. And so as Paul traveled throughout the Mediterranean world, and as he planted churches and visit churches, he would periodically collect funds in support of this famine relief. Remember in the book of Galatians, when Paul went to Jerusalem, he met with the apostles and they welcomed him, but they pleaded with him, please do not forget the poor. Because as Paul traveled among the Mediterranean world, he would collect money, relief to help the poor back in Jerusalem. Well, now this is what he's talking about here. Some of us don't know what it's like to be poor. But if you've ever battled cancer, you know what it's like to battle cancer. If you've ever been out of work, you know what it's like to be out of work. When you hear of someone else being out of work, you resonate with it. Okay. these people, these Christians in Macedonia, they knew what it was like to be poor because they were poor. They knew what it was like to be hungry. Okay? So when they heard about the famine in Jerusalem, that resonated with them. That resonated with them. You would think these people, they're poor. They can't be thinking about other people. They can't be giving to help someone else. But because they had grace-producing or joy-producing grace, they had abounding joy in their life because of God's grace, and because they knew what poverty was like, when they heard about that famine in Jerusalem, they wanted to give. That's how powerful God's grace is. That their own poverty didn't make them bitter. It didn't make them angry. It made them generous. Okay? God's grace produces grace. God's grace begets grace. Paul says, in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. You wouldn't ask the churches of Macedonia to give. You wouldn't ask them. They were poor. They needed help themselves. You wouldn't ask them to give. But because of God's grace in their life, they wanted to give. Paul says, they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord. Paul says those churches gave more than they could afford to give. And it was their own. It was in their own accord. It wasn't like Paul was putting the heat on them and pressuring them to give. They wanted to do it. Paul says, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. That's how powerful grace is. They were so caught up with the grace of God that in spite of their own severe troubles, they were so joyful. They wanted to give. They begged for the privilege of being a part of that. They wanted to help. Remember, the gospel came from Jerusalem. That had changed their lives. And when they hear that the churches in Jerusalem were suffering, they wanted to. They begged for the privilege of giving to that. Paul says, and not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. You know, there used to be these evangelists on television, I guess they're still there, who were always pressuring people for money. And they became sort of religious celebrities. And some people follow these televangelists and would do anything for them. Even when they get caught up in scandals or whatever, there were some people who would do anything they had. Paul says, that's not what's going on here. They weren't treating me like a rock star and giving just for my... He says, they were giving themselves to God. They were thankful for God's grace. And so they were putting God first. And that's why they wanted to give. It wasn't because of Paul. It was because of the grace of God. God's grace begets grace. God's grace produces grace. And therefore, I want to encourage you this morning to show grace and give. If you have received the grace of God, if you have benefited from the grace of God, if you have received the free gift of everlasting life, the gift of Jesus Christ, then turn around and show grace by giving. We are still in the process of collecting our thank offering, which again, it's a way to help support missionaries at home and abroad. I mentioned earlier, if you want to, you can give to help crisis relief for refugees in refugee camps around the world. Many of you, I know, support the kids in the orphanage in Mexico and the Acosta. I've been communicating with Amy this week, and they're trying to do some renovations on their homes so they take in homeless kids off the street, and they provide a family for them and clothing and food and a Christian environment and a Christian education. And you want to give? You can give to the Acostas and help them as they love these kids off the street. If you have received gift, as you have received grace, turn around and show grace by giving. Look what Paul says here, verse 6 or 7. He says, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. Remember, the church in Corinth was remarkable for all of its unusual spiritual gifts. There are many who could prophesy and all sorts of gifts. Paul says, just like you excel in all these other areas, make it your goal that you also excel in giving. I know many of you are very good in sports, or you're very good at school, or you're very good as a chef in the kitchen, or you're very good at what you do at work. Or make it your goal to also excel in giving. Some people, you know this, some people are just very good gift givers. Every year, they just always seem to find the right thing. It's not necessarily about spending more money. It's just some people just know how to give good gifts. You have received gifts from the Lord. I want to encourage you to turn around and excel in giving good gifts. Let God's grace motivate you to give. Verse 9, Paul says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was poor, yet though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity. He lived in eternal glory and comfort, and yet for our sakes, he became poor. He came down in this world of poverty and suffering, was born as a baby and laid in an animal's feeding trough. He came in and lived a life of poverty. Though he was rich, he became poor, even to the point of death on the cross, so that you might receive all the blessings that he earned, that he deserved. That's grace. That's a free gift. Jesus died for us in our place to take our penalty and our punishment. That's grace. And Paul is now saying, he's saying, let the grace of God motivate you. Let God's grace change you as you think about it, as you dwell on it. Let God's grace produce grace within you. Let God's grace make you more gracious. Let God's grace make you more of a giver. Now, Paul here is talking about money, obviously. Money is one way that we show grace, okay? Because money represents work. It represents food and shelter and labor. So giving financially is one way you show grace. It's not the only way. Maybe you don't have much money to give. Or maybe the people in your life don't really need money. Think about what others most need. Think about what other people would like to receive from you. I mean, it's easy to think about the gift you want to give, but take some time and think about what someone else would like to receive. The key to excelling in giving is planning. Okay, no more last minute Christmas Eve mad dashes to the mall. Let's hope we find something. But a good giver is someone who takes time to think, what would this person really like? What would be meaningful? What would be? You know, it's not necessarily about spending more money. You don't have to spend any money at all. But grace is thinking about, how could I bless this person? See, the churches in Macedonia, they didn't have to give to the people of Jerusalem. They weren't expected to, but they did anyway. Paul calls that grace. You can give a token gift, or you can put a little thought into it, a little extra thought, and that's grace. Children, maybe you're going to make a card for your mom for Christmas. Your mom would love that, you know. But don't just scribble out something while you're watching SpongeBob, you know. Take a moment. Think about what mom would like. Put a little thought into it, you know. Do your best. That's what Paul says here. Do your best. Okay, you want to excel at giving. You want to be a good gift giver. God is the greatest gift giver. He has given so much. Don't you want to be a good gift giver? This is what Paul says. Verse 12, if the readiness is there, it's acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. It's possible that the Corinthian church wasn't able to give as much as they wanted. Now, they were not poor like the Macedonians, but it's possible they weren't able to give now as much as they had originally intended. And Paul says, listen, you've already expressed your interest, your desire to give, and as long as your readiness to give is there, it's acceptable because you're giving what you can. Okay? Maybe this year things are a little tight. Maybe there won't be as many gifts under the tree. That's fine. We're not talking about how much money you spend. We're talking about giving your best. Maybe it's not money. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's thoughtfulness. Maybe it's effort. Maybe it's helping mom around the house, getting things ready. Do your best to be a giver and be gracious. God will provide what you need. This is how our passage ends. Paul quotes from the book of Exodus. He says, as it's written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Well, as is taken from the book of Exodus, when God's people entered in the wilderness, it was a hard time. It was a scary time. They did not know where they were going. They didn't know what they were going to do. They didn't know what they were going to eat. And they woke up one morning, and there was this stuff on the ground. And they didn't know what it was. They called it manna, which in the Hebrew means, what is this? And it was flour. They could gather it up and they could make bread out of it. And it was just a gift. I mean, for 40 years, every day they woke up in the morning and it was just there on the ground. And it was bread from heaven. That was grace. Here they were. They were going through a hard time and God just provided the grace they needed to get through. The particular passage is describing how they were told to go out that first day and gather up a certain amount, and some of them didn't gather quite as much, and others gathered more. I mean, they'd never done this before, and they don't want to be greedy, but they don't want to be lazy. And yet Moses says, but when they got back to the tent and they measured it, every family had just the right amount. And Paul seems to be quoting that here to say, God's going to take care of you. God gives you what you need. And that includes what you need to be able to give. Maybe it's not as much money this year. But you can give from your heart. You can give as God enables you because God has given so much to you. That's grace. God has given you his son, Jesus Christ, bread from heaven. God's grace to take us through the hard times. God's grace to carry us and to comfort us and strengthen us. God gives you grace. And you know what? God's grace begets grace. God's grace produces grace. I want to encourage you to take this holiday season to think about grace, to focus on grace and let God's grace multiply in your life. Let God's grace produce more grace. Let God's grace make you more gracious so that we can go out in the world this week, this season, and show grace by giving. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your grace. The free gift of eternal life. The free gift of peace with God. The free gift of your Son, our Savior. Thank you, Father, you are a giver. And you are gracious. Make us gracious, Lord. May your grace change us. May your grace shape us. May your grace make us generous with our heart, with our affections, with our time, our talents, our ability, our resources, Lord. Make us givers. Make us gracious. Help us, Lord, to excel at giving this holiday season. We ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.